message was preached at the Holy Convocation, which held between the 27th and 30th October 2010 at Nisi Center along Maraban Rido Road, Kaduna, with the theme Grow in Grace. For further inquiries and counsel, please contact Refuge Media, Number 1 Constitution Road, Trinity Methodist Shopping Arcade, P.O. Box 7332, telephone 070-2971-9745, 070-3456-8035, email treasuresteam@yahoo.com, or visit our website at www.theplaceofrefuge.org. Please sit back and listen as God's servant brings forth the word of life.
Abba Father, it is light that I see. God will say, you are light, and in you is no darkness at all. You are God, we are man. The eye of sinful man will never see your glory. You dwell in a realm that no mortal can venture by his strength. Except you show yourself to a man, it is vain for a man to try to see God. Our God, we have come to you, the immortal, the invisible, the only wise God who has given us the grace to come to this meeting. Lord, we're here at your feet. Remember that we blossom and flourish as leaves on that tree, but we shall finish. Only you shall remain. This is our day. Lord, show mercy to your people. As you receive glory and praise from their mouths, Lord, we are only asking that you be present in this meeting. The Lord, you shall be present to minister to everybody at his level and according to his need. We beg you, Father, O God, that nobody shall come to this meeting and return the same he came. That as we praise you day by day, you shall fill everybody with your presence. Jehovah, the I am that I am, the God that has ever been and ever will be, the one that it is not difficult for you to do whatever you like to do. There's no terminal disease, no terminal case with you. Lord, we have come with our different needs. And we just beg you that, Lord, what you have done before that we had with our ears that our fathers experienced, help us to also experience it. Lord, let nothing be scarce in this meeting. We pray that there shall be traffic in this place, ascending and descending. That this place shall be a gate of heaven, that the ladder will connect us with heaven, that we will not struggle in the course of these days. We commit ourselves into your hands. Father, we beg you for mercy. We beg that your grace will never depart from us. Even if we do something here that will annoy you, please beat us like a father, but don't let your presence depart from here. We trust that starting from tonight, O God, your holy presence will sanctify this camp. That, Lord, anybody that comes through these gates of this camp, they will be soaked into your glory. The canopy of God will come over that life in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, please lay hands upon us strongly. Don't let us go back the same we came here. Help us to return another road. Lord, we will worship you because that is our due. We bring our offerings because that is what you bid us do. But Lord, after we have done all and we have done everything you taught us to do, it remained for you to come If you don't come to this sacrifice, we'll have labored in vain. So Lord, we pray you, O God, to come and honor your word. Send us help from your sanctuary. Send us help out of Zion. Lord, these ones didn't come here to meet anybody. They came here because they are expecting. You told them to come and they came. They're expecting God. Lord, may nobody miss God in this meeting. In the name of Jesus Christ. We already ask that our equipment will not fail us at any point. The children and the adolescents and the outside people, they will not suffer loss because they're not inside the sanctuary. Your presence will pervade every single meeting in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Bible studies, our workshops, every meeting, oh God, we pray that because you are only channels, that Lord, you will not be absent. From tonight, Holy Spirit, we defer to you. Let the governor rule this meeting. Let the government be upon his shoulder and let him direct every single aspect of this meeting. Lord, please come and help us because vain is the help of man. The Egyptians are mere men. They are not God. Nobody can help us. Gadgets and all the things that humankind has manufactured, they are not the matter. It is your presence we have come here for. Let there be encounters moment by moment in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We sit at your feet cause that nobody will misunderstand you. Cause that their unplowed heart shall be plowed. That those who have come here with plenty of worry and thorns in their hearts, you will pull out those thorns. That the hearts that have become so familiar with your word and become caked, Lord, you will uproot those rocks. That every seed sown in this meeting shall bear fruit an hundredfold. In the name of Jesus! Holy Father, you are righteous, you are faithful. It is all that can disappoint, you cannot disappoint. We believe that's why we have prayed and we have asked you. And we know you will do far more abundantly above what we can think or what we can ask. Go ahead, Lord, and transport us after this meeting into a realm we never dreamt of in this meeting. Be with your servant as he brings us the word in this meeting. Lord, let him speak like an oracle. Anointing with a special grace. And let him be happy to see the seed that is sowed become abundantly fruitful. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Please take note of this word. Some of you are quite rigid when you come to a meeting. You are always thinking of till the speaker comes that God has not spoken. Look up to God for your healing. Look up to God for your deliverance. Look up to God for your marital problems. Even if you have a cancer and they said it cannot be healed, look up to God. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not our classmates. You must have faith. Even if they say you have no womb and all your tubes are blocked, look up to him. The word of God contains every ingredient. As a matter of fact, there's nothing God does except by his word. It's us human beings that when God has spoken, we are still looking for prophecy, we are still looking for healing. God's word is much more effective than any gift. So as his word comes, please, I want you to expect your portion. We don't normally make plenty of noise about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit because there's no need to make noise about the Holy Spirit. If he's present, he will manifest himself. So please be expectant. Now tonight we are going to pray. The holy convocation is a gathering of God's people unto him. It's a move of God. We have said it's not a meeting. It shouldn't end here. It's something that we don't think is a meeting because it's not something we finish and we finish with it. God said, I want to bless my people. I want to raise my sons and daughters, bringing sons to glory over the time. And that's why each year we come to sit down at this time to hear him again for our lives. But this is not a yearly pilgrimage. Neither is it a shrine or a routine. It is I believe, points of encounter, points of lifting men to another level, points of getting deeper rooted, points of gathering us again so that we don't backslide and the wolf does not carry any of us. Points of bringing the church of God together. One of the greatest joy I have is that people are here who are Roman Catholics, people are here who are from different denominations, and we don't care where you come from. All we care is that you're a child of God. And in this atmosphere, I want to say to you, things have happened before, and things are going to happen again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Over the time, we have had different themes. For the last couple of years, we have been sharing on revivals. We have had a big burden for revival. And this year, we are not departing from revival. Revival is coming, whether you like it or not. But revival has come. You say, but how do you know? Look at me here. I'm an evidence of revival. Eh? Whether you like it or not, revival has come. I was not like this 16 years ago or 10 years ago, or even 2 years ago. And I know you have not been the way you have been. Something is happening. But because God does not want a flash in the pan, God does not want a very temporary revival. Many revivals in the history of mankind have been very temporal for several reasons, which you have been trying to learn over the years. Very temporal. Doesn't last a long time before the revival vanishes and the church goes back to square one. But because this is the latter rain, this is the looking like the climax of revivals that we usher in the governor. I think God is not taking it lightly. And I think that for it to become exactly what God wants to be, God is saying, I want solid believers. Solid believers. People with understanding. People that know exactly what is the will and purpose of God for a time like this. The sons of Issachar. I want such a people. And that's why God is laboring. And this year around, it looks as if we are going back. No, it's not a going back. It's a consolidation. We are beginning to talk again about life building. Practical righteousness. That's what God is going to be dealing with this year. So that when you settle down in the land, you will not be carried away into captivity 2 years after because of sin. It is one thing to enter your rest. It's something else to maintain that rest. We have seen people that they have gone far with God, but how they ended, we can't understand it. And the Bible says the end of the matter is what? Better than the beginning. So God is becoming meticulous with those who are going to anchor this revival. So we are coming to sit down again, even if we are going to be learning basic things. Basic things. Don't take it for granted. Whatever killed men are the basics. When men began to think that they are too simple, they are too basic, and abandon them, they fell with a great fall. So we will sit down. I don't know how God will come. I can't presume to know. We have prayed. Our leader who is going to lead us has come. And we just wait. I don't want you to be presumptuous. I don't want you to be foolish. Every holy convocation is peculiar. Each of them was supposed to do a definite work in your life. Are you following me this morning, this night? So it will be foolish for you to be saying, only in the night I will come. No, it will not be good. Tonight, all I want us to do is to pray very quickly and get ready. There is a preparation for God that every man must make in life. Nobody meets God anyhow. Apart from that preparation you must make for your life so that you can always have access to God, there's also a preparation for each time God wants to encounter people. There's no time God called people to himself that God called them for fun. Mm-mm. God does nothing for fun. He's a happy being. He's a joyful person. Sometimes he can crack holy jokes, but he doesn't call people to waste their time. I'd like you to bear this in mind as we pray tonight. Every time God calls a convocation, either it's a Passover, either it's a tabernacle, either it's the Feast of Weeks, anytime God calls people of God together, He makes sure that He wants them to prepare adequately. Because even though we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, where the blood speaks, where there are innumerable company of angels, where God Himself is present, and where the church of the firstborn are gathered, God said, I want to remind you that God is still the same God of Exodus. He's still a consuming fire. And revival, we have told you, has two sides. What will bless one man can kill another man. When Uzzah and his brother didn't prepare very well, and they were carrying God on their carts, they died. And so that God will prove that He's not a killer, the same act that slaughtered them became a big blessing to the house of Obed-Edom. That Moses, David begged God to, please, let me go and carry the ark one more time. So I don't want you to presume with God. We will pray tonight. It may not be long prayer. But if you want to benefit maximally from this meeting, please don't come casually. Don't come presumptuously. Don't say, in a holy congregation, make we go again. It's not the same thing like last year. And the deeper we go with God, the more God becomes meticulous. If we are not going to suffer in the coming revival, because many are going to suffer, each time there's revival, people are getting blessed. Some are suffering for foolishness. If you are not going to become one of those that are going to suffer in the days ahead, please take heed. We need to get ready. Amen. So we are going to get ready. When the Lord came down in the book of Exodus, it was very terrible. The Bible says Moses was shaking and quaking. There were clouds, there were thundering, there were earthquakes, there were blackness. The whole mountain was covered with blackness. And when God spoke, the people ran away. But before He came, He told Moses, go and beg these people for me to go and bath and wash their dresses. For 3 days, let them keep washing. Because I'm going to come. And when I come, I put a boundary around the mountain. And I thank God for that boundary. Today there's no boundary. So anybody can come anywhere he likes. That's why the Bible says some people have slept. They didn't wake up. Each time I go to Holy Communion, I read it very well. In my village church, once they finish the service and it's time for communion, they say, those who are not prepared, let them go home. And normally, 5/8 go. No, 7/8 normally go home. And only those who are wearing white. They thought it's white that makes people not to die. But that's what I discovered in those days in my village church. And they said, Reverend Father, we say, excuse me, it's now time for communion. We have played finished. The service has ended. So those who are ready for communion, those who are ready for Holy Communion, those who are communicants, who are ready for communion, let them come forward. So those who are not ready, let them go. Those who are ready, they normally come with white. A majority of those people who are drunkards, they'll make we go drink our beer, no concern us. You know, they know that there's something you cannot touch with beer. They know. They understand it. Even those who are coming, who wore white. Some of them went to confession yesterday. All those kind of things. They have a sense that, excuse, you can't come as you like. You know, when you do something over and over and over and over again, the tendency is for you to take it for granted. The first Passover was serious in Exodus. Over the years, when they were going for Passover, they were laughing. But on that first night, nobody laughed. That was the night angels slaughtered thousands in Egypt. But after many years, when they say Passover, so you hear the Bible say they have never done the kind of Passover since themselves for the Passover that God did mighty and tremendous things. I'd like us to pray from the book. Take a few prayer points from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we will pray tonight. I hope it will not be long so that we can pray. We can pray a few moments. Please don't be worried about what to sleep, what to eat. I think God has made an arrangement for you. You may not be comfortable, you may be grass. But the Lord said to say that sit on the grass. So make them to sit down on the grass. Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. Hallelujah. God goes nowhere in vain. Each time God goes anywhere, he has a reason for going there. He may not come every day, but when God decides to go, he's going for a definite reason. Can I assure you that in this meeting, God is coming for a definite dealing? He's not coming to joke. He's coming for something definite. And he said, I prepared myself a king, not kings. I'd like you to also know that whenever God goes somewhere, there may be a crowd, but it normally goes for a person. Crowds are deceptive. Always. Crowds are deceptive. That's what crowds do. Crowds make people to assume a lot. As you have come, please, you are going to pray and say, nobody will affect me who is sitting near by my side. Huh? Nobody is going to influence me otherwise. I will pray as if nobody came to this meeting with me. It may be because of me that God has come to this meeting. It may be even Samuel, who was to anchor that meeting, didn't know who was who. He was going on an errand. But so God has somebody in mind. I believe that many things are going to happen in this meeting. Somebody is going to get anointed with oil. I don't know whether I've made a mistake, but you will see. Somebody is going to hear something he didn't hear before. As I was rejoicing a few days ago about this meeting, I looked back how this meeting started. From almost a small room, and I was looking, going around this compound, the Lord told me, he said, you are the one that has delayed me from doing great things. He said, I will have done mighty things, but you will see greater things than this. And this is not the first time God has spoken like that. That what we are seeing presently is nothing compared to what God can do. But that the thing that normally makes God not to work is that people that he wants to bless are not prepared. The reason why you go to your quiet time and you come out of your quiet time as if somebody slapped you is because you never prepared to go to God. It has become a routine. It has become something we do every day. There is no need to prepare. The Bible says, enter his gate with thanksgiving, enter his court with praise. You enter with murmuring. One angel slapped you and you came back and your face was long that day. And when I saw you, I know that it is because you are careless with God that such things can happen to a man. I'd like you to get ready. God is not a man. He's still a consuming fire. People don't approach the God of heaven anyhow they like. He said, fill your horn, go, I'm sending you to the house of Jesse. I have provided for myself a king. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take an ephah with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Take a ephah, go there. And then invite Jesse particularly to the sacrifice. I will show you what you will do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. And Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourself, that the word tonight. Do what? sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now, this is to teach you again, because I'm not dealing with the details of that story. It's not concerning me. I don't know how God will go. I'm only trying to get us into the mood for this meeting. There's a mood. And if we must get to that mood, I hear Samuel, God speaking to Samuel, and saying to him, go and call a sacrifice. Sacrifice means a meeting between me and the people. When the blood is shed and the animal is on the altar, and God smells the odor, the meeting takes place. So go and bring a sacrifice and call the people together and sanctify Jesse and his sons particularly. And when he came to that village, people, elders, young men, we are playing, elders, we are trembling. I think the young people were playing football. They were watching mine, they were playing football. The elders who knew God, what were they doing? Well, you didn't give us notice. How can you come and meet us like this? We're not ready. This thing is not good. We're not ready. They knew. But if you're going to benefit from a meeting with God, you yourself have to get yourself ready. And they said, did you come peaceably? Is there trouble? Did you do something wrong? Is God not with us? He said, no, I came peaceably. I've come that we may eat together and sacrifice together. We want to meet with God. Now, you go and sanctify yourself. I'll give you time. There's no hurry. Sanctify yourself and come to the sacrifice. Then he himself particularly took time. Since he now knows that it is Jesse's children. If I knew the direction God was looking this night, if I knew it was his direction, I would have said, everybody go, please, let's face these people now and sanctify them. But since I don't know. Since I don't know where God is coming from. So let's all do it together. Even if it's not you, it's coming from, still do it. Amen. We say, Jesse and your son, come. You need to enter into a special sanctification. You can't play now because your family has become special. Our family has become special with God. Amen. And that is why we must not sanctify ourselves like the general church. No, it will not do. You know, some of you don't know what God is doing with your life. That is why you compare yourself with yourselves. Sometimes I ask God, but what of that sister? Why are you so special with me? Is that sister from Jesse's house? Sometimes we have the affront to say, God, my own is too much. Abba, why do you insist with me? People are wearing what they like. People are going where they like. People are doing as they like. Why are you so particular with me? It's because you are from the house of Jesse. That's the reason. You may be wondering, but why are we trying to do this kind of meeting? And the first message you are saying is, prepare yourself. It's because you are not among the common people. The sacrifice is not actually for them, but they have to make up the number. There are some of you here sitting down tonight that this sacrifice is particularly for you. This sacrifice is for me. I'm telling you the truth. It's for me particularly. I'm getting myself ready because I know something will happen to my life. You may be doing general consecration, no problem. But for those from the house of Jesse, since God has said it is from the sons of Jesse, he said to them, look, there's no joking. Look, this announcement I've made for everybody. You are not only going to bath. You are going to enter into a special consecration. He warned them. He warned them. Say, look, don't joke with this moment. This is a critical, a defining moment in your life. Somebody is going to become king in this family. So you don't joke. And Samuel, the prophet, went to that extent. He called Jesse, he called him, look, say, we are going to have a meeting in the town square. But that's not where we are going. It's for you. So as people are bathing, they are washing their dresses, they are washing their feet and they are doing ablutions and they are confessing their sin. You, Jesse and your sons, Eliab, all of you, come. It is for your reason we came to this village. I perceive that there are some people here tonight. God came here for you. I think I'm one of them. I don't know about you. I think I am one of them. You see, if everybody is doing sanctification, they are doing double sanctification. to make assurance doubly sure, because something is going to come upon them. God is going to come upon their lives, and they can't afford to be ordinary. And the Bible said, it was after they have done everything they knew how to do as consecration, when they came, he looked at Eliab and said, what did he say? Surely this man is ready. The Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, what did the Lord say to Samuel? Do not look on his appearance, on his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You must memorize this verse. It's a very critical verse of scripture. There are some verses of scripture, for me, they are too important. When the servant of God, who is not a prophet, Samuel is not just a prophet, Samuel was also a seer. You see, when you become a seer, when you graduate from being a normal speaking prophet to becoming a seer, who can see what other people cannot see? You're in a special class. Samuel has been a prophet for years. He has graduated to the point where somebody is coming to see him. You know, prophecy is very simple. But when somebody is coming to see you and you're telling him what God, what he did yesterday, you're entering under the realm of prophecy. Samuel told Saul, when Saul came to see him, he said, God whispered in my ear last night that you are coming. Go and settle down. Don't worry about food and anything. Don't talk about anything. I'm going to tell you what the Lord is saying concerning you. Men of accuracy, when he saw Eliab coming down, Eliab confused him. Many of you are going to confuse human beings, but you can never confuse God. Samuel was so excited that my work is finished. Don't have to stay long in this family before somebody slaughter me here. Say, surely, say, kneel down. And God said to him, quickly, stop that, Samuel. You didn't pray before you went and anointed this man. I don't like him. See, but excuse me, he's tall, he's handsome, he's dressed in white suit, he has a big dead Bible, his shoe is black and well polished, his hair is well combed. So what are you looking for? He has a PhD in theology. Abba, what again? Who is more qualified than this man? The man you throw away is tall. This man is also a good replacement. God said no. God said no. If it was from the outside, qualified. But I don't look outwardly. I don't look outwardly. Tonight, excuse me, you may be finely dressed. You may confuse all of us. Your credentials may be fantastic. Everything is correct. But God said there's a place I normally look, which no human being sees. And that is where the issues of life come out of the heart. There are human beings that can see you and fall on the ground and say, Baba, thank you, sir. God bless you, sir. And inside they are saying, wicked man, wicked man, wicked man. What their mouth is saying and what their heart is saying is not the same. God knows such men. They are not men of integrity. What they say and what they are thinking is not integrated. He knows them. The man they are thanking and say, that's a wonderful boy, that's a wonderful boy. That's a God say, I have refused him. Because I don't look as man looks. So when we are checking tonight, don't look at your shirt. It's very good. Even if oil spots it, it doesn't stop you from going to heaven. Even if you are eating palm oil yam this afternoon and yam spot your white dress, piam, it's only human beings who will laugh at you. They don't laugh at such dress in heaven. Eh? They're not following me again. Human beings, you can be embarrassed. You say, this is my new white shirt. Oil. It's a shame. It's not a shame in heaven. It's a shame on earth. The parameter for judgment in earth and in heaven are not the same. Our Father in heaven said, but the Lord said to Samuel, on the contrary, God said to Samuel, who said, surely Do not look on his appearance or on his physical stature. That's where human beings look. When you're looking for a receptionist, and all the girls come and you're looking for a receptionist, if you're in the world system, the kind of girls you're looking for, receptionist. God said, no, I don't look for such people. Your parameters and my parameters for judging people are not the same. You look on the outward appearance, on the stature, on the physique, on the physical credentials, but no, I've refused him. For the Lord does not look as man sees. He doesn't do like that. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks where? So tonight, you know what we're looking for. Abi, I hope you know what we're looking for now. It's not the physical preparation you made that is the matter tonight. It is where the invisible looks, which nobody can see except him. That's the matter. Eliab looked qualified. Somewhere the prophet said, surely, no mistake. I am very sure. This one, there's no me. This is the new king. And the man has bathed very well. He rubbed perfume. Surely. God said, no. Somewhere, I don't know where he's still looking at the physical for the parameter for judging sanctification. No. That's not where I'm looking. Amen. So please, tonight, religion is not the matter. Many of us have become quite religious. No. There's a place God is looking tonight. And excuse me, even if you think God is going to do this week will be beneficial in your life, that place must be correct. Because the seed of the word of God, that's where it's planted. And we have wasted so much seed because that place is not correct. And that's where God looks. And so the Bible said, Jesse. So Jesse called Abinadab, his next son. No. That he might pass before Samuel, like a beauty parade. He just passed in front of Samuel. This time, Samuel was very careful. He didn't say surely again. He began to pray very hard. He began to check. Say, Father, is it this one? God said, no, it's not this one. Neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse met Shammah, the third born, passed by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. So what is God looking for? Jesse met seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these ones. So what is God looking for? And seven means complete. So the man, this thing is, I'm so surprised that seven of them passed through. Is it that God is so difficult? Is it that God is so hard to please? Is it our Father? It's so difficult. It's not difficult, but sometimes God is meticulous. Huh? Excuse me, let me be frank with you. There are some things God does not give out anyhow. Huh? If he gives it to the wrong person, he himself will suffer for it. The word of God that is going to release to you this week is not cheap. Some of you have gone to places where the word of God is very cheap. But the word of God coming to you this weekend is not cheap. He won't give it to you anyhow. It's not that it's difficult, but you must treasure it. That's why Samuel said to the house of Jesse, prepare. Prepare. Don't be presumptuous. A king is among you. Look, you may sit here tonight. God will speak. Somebody will hear something. You will not hear it. Peter said to God, why do you speak like this? He said they are on the outside. They didn't sanctify themselves. For those on the inside, I speak plainly. But for those on the outside, I speak in parables. So that they will not repent. Huh? When God begins to be serious with you, you need to be serious with God yourself. Casual, common consecration is not going to do in this meeting. You must get ready. Don't flock here as if you say we're going on pilgrimage to Jerusalem or Mecca. No. We have come to meet God because there's something he must pour upon our lives. In the name of Jesus. Seven sons. And that was when my fear began. And the captain asked, I said, God, so what is the matter? Will I also be qualified? And I hear God saying, I'm not a respecter of persons. And I want you to know that that is the truth. There's no favoritism with God. If you get yourself ready like Moses, you will do what he did to Moses to your life. And I was joyful as I read on that my God is still the same God who shows mercy to whom he wants to show mercy. Because those persons have met his conditions. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes. Excuse me. The forgotten David. David was forgotten. When they say, bring your children and sanctify them, Baba said, there's no need to bring him. He's not qualified. He plays too much ball. He's always in the bush. He fights a lot. And he's too young. So what are we calling him for? Let's not waste time. And he's looking after the sheep. So who will we? Oh, Baba, you know, Ismael said, no need to call David. So they forgot David in the bush. Every other person was baffling. David was not baffling. David was playing guitar in the bush. Killing the bears, killing the lions, protecting the small sheep, which is not his own. You need to repent tonight. Some of you are working for somebody, and the way you're handling that job is making you already disqualified, because it's a wrong heart that makes you handle people's things with levity. It's a wrong heart that makes you think that you can play with people's things and look after your own very well. Those sheep are not the first one, not the second, it's the eighth born. So if they're going to share the sheep, you won't even reach it. But you can see David, a man after God's own heart. Diligent, pure in heart. Didn't bath, didn't change his dress when they went and called him. He was coming from the bush. And the story, you know it all. Hallelujah. He went, he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and bright eyes, with bright eyes and very good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. May you be the one. This is not the two, it's one. Can you imagine that they carried a whole village for one person? Carried a whole tribe, even a clan. Say, look, we are looking for somebody here, but. And I'm not surprised. That's how God does. When they went to anoint Saul, they cleared the whole of Israel. They started doing ballots. Just for one man. That's how God does. I want to be the one. Huh? But how can you be the one? How can you be the one that God did if you say, this is the one? And immediately, without bathing, without brushing his teeth, without changing his shepherd clothes from the bush. So it teaches me that God is not looking at your dressing. Huh? If you came here with a bitter heart, hatred in your heart, you didn't forgive anybody, I hear God say, I refuse him. He's not the one. Huh? If you came here with hypocrisy in the heart, you mean one thing and inside your heart something else is happening, I can hear Baba say already, it's not him. What we are holding is too. There are some meetings you go. Let me tell you the truth. There are some meetings you go. I don't know whether God is normally very serious in those meetings. I normally see an atmosphere that is too cavalier, the atmosphere is normally too light. And when I hear people dancing and shouting and doing all those things, sometimes I get confused. I say, God, so you are here. And I heard when Moses told Joshua, he said, this is not the voice of those who have been overcome, of those who are overcoming. This is the noise of playing I hear. You know, sometimes I go to some meetings, and you know, I thought the word is coming, but I see that the atmosphere, no, it's not God. Even if it's God, God is not serious. But on this day, he said, I want to anoint someone. But go and let them sanctify themselves. Friends, we are going to pray. The next verse says, the evil spirit left Saul. The evil spirit came upon Saul. The Holy Ghost left him and came on David. kept asking God, what made Saul to lose the anointing that David received? What normally disqualifies men from God? Lay hands on them. What will make God not to give me a revelation in this meeting, understanding? What will make God not to plant his seed in my heart? Lord, don't refuse me. That's the prayer tonight. If you know what will disqualify me, Lord, show it to me. And it is for those who are not too familiar. You know, if you attended this meeting for many years now, you are tending to be familiar with it. You know, when you become routine, mechanical, just go, let's be going. The same meeting. It's not Brother Bile who will speak. I know him before. We are, in fact, I carried his Bible 1 year just to carry. Let me see whether his Bible is heavy or light. You do all those things. You think we don't know that you are doing all those things to try. But anointing does not come by carrying somebody's Bible. It comes by God speaking to you and doing something in your life. And he has come down. And he has gathered a feast. If you know how much it took some brothers to go and climb, somebody fell from that place hanging a light just to make you read your Bible. And then you would not understand when you read your Bible. God forbid. We are going to pray. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Who shall stand in his presence? What did the Bible say? Those that have clean hands and what? A pure heart. Friend, God does not look where man looks. How is the relationship with your wife? You have just arrived in this meeting looking cute. You know, God deals with the secret, not the public. Many of us are like Adam and Eve. They cover with leaves. Let God cover you in this meeting. Leaves. How long will it last if you cover today? 2 days later, the leaves will finish. How is it in the secret place? How is your relationship with God? Has something happened to it? It was not here. It was a few chapters later. I saw Eliab. I said, God, this is why you say you refuse him? When David came to the battle. And David had, when Goliath was shouting on the people of Israel, shouting on God's people, and his senior brother could not answer. Shammah could not answer. Look at Abinadab. Abinadab said, look at that man insulting us. Can't you answer? He said, bro, run away from here. David went to Abinadab and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is defying the armies of the living God? A man that has not been caught uncircumcised. How can he, a man without covenant, how can he intimidate all of you? He said, no, but I had it. He said, come here. Who did you leave the few sheep with in the desert? You proud boy. Shut up! Get away from here! Stupid boy. But I said, did I do anything wrong? If you had killed Philistines 40 days ago, will I be here? Is there no cause? Why are you shouting on me like that? And the boy couldn't be cowed. He went somewhere else and repeated it. They said, the man will give you his wife to marry, the king, and he'll give you, he won't pay tax again. He said, that's not my concern. It is this uncircumcised Philistine. Excuse me. The men that are going to fell the giant enemies of God are not ordinary people. The coming days, God is not looking for ordinary believers. And he's not looking for a big credential. He says, sanctify them. Prepare them. Let them come to the feast. I want us to pray. Don't be careless in this hour. You see, I'm telling the truth. There's no big issue with God. Sometimes I think God is too simple. Those that miss God, it wasn't a big matter. You may think it's a big sin. David is not perfect. What Saul did and what David did, if I'm God, I would prefer Saul. What did Saul do? They said, go and kill the Amalekites. He went for the spoil. He went and offered a sacrifice, which is not in his call. Then when God was going to discipline him, he said, Lord, please tell me, let us go and let us do hypocrisy, a proud man. But David took the wife of a son of his and pregnanted her and killed the man. I think that was very grievous. But the people that miss out with God are not the worst sinners. They are those who don't know how to repent. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. Your condemnation is that light has come and you run away from light. As you pray tonight, this may become the defining moment of your life. Don't joke with it. I don't know, but I think that these convocations are not a joke. There are some meetings that God does not joke with them because they have a particular meaning in His purpose. Look, not every meeting that God goes to and is serious. Not every meeting that God speaks seriously. Sometimes you go to a meeting, you think God will speak hard. It is because He's not contending with those people. Huh? Let me tell you, if it's blessing you're looking for, you don't need to come here. If it's rapper, if it's jeep, if it's a good wife you're looking for, go away. There's no need for you to come here because it's available anywhere. Huh? If it's a good rapper, huh? Not the one that they sell in the market, the one they bring from England, they call it, I don't know what they call that rapper, that they don't wash it with water and they don't soak it in the sun so that it doesn't fade. Hollandis, if that one you're looking for, there's no need to come here. If it's a jeep that is your interest, SUV, something, 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 year 2012 model, go to Japan. There's no need to come here. I think in my heart that there are many people that God answered. You see, one man told me one day, he said, God also answers my prayers. He said, how do you know He answers your prayers? He said, look at my car, look at my house, look at my wife, look at my children. I said, thank you. They've settled you long ago in heaven. There's some people that God has told the angels, each time they are coming, don't let them come to the council room where we're having meetings. Settle them. So that we can have time to deal with people who want something eternal. Shall we pray? He doesn't see as man sees. No, he doesn't see as man sees. Can you pray for a moment? Our time is gone. Can you pray for a moment tonight? I will give you a chance. You don't even have to be a seat to pray this prayer. If you feel that there is something that you want to confess, something you want the sacrifice, the blood of the sacrifice to purge out of your life, something you want to deal with that God is saying, this matter, this matter, this matter. You can even leave your seat and come forward tonight. Tonight, we are just preparing ourselves for the feast. Sister, how is your home? Where you came from? How is your relationship with your husband, your children, your wife? Is it in your office that defilement has come? It's time to pray. It's time to pray. Can you pray tonight? We don't have plenty of time. I just want you to face God. Face God. Let me face God also. Just face your God. Let me face my God. God will not come here for no reason. No, no. And we are from Jesse's tribe. We are from Bethlehem. I perceive it. We are from Bethlehem. We are from Jesse's family. And I want you to say to God, I will not miss it. I will not miss it. And God is saying, how is your heart? How is your hand? How is your heart? That acrimony, that jealousy, that envy. Brother, that unforgiveness, that malice, that hypocrisy. You laugh with your mouth, but your heart is saying something else. This is your opportunity. It's time for cleansing. It's time for washing. He said He's going to wash His church. He's going to cleanse His church. That they may become a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. God wants to do something deep in our lives. He wants to do something express this weekend. Can you pray tonight? Can you pray tonight? Where did you fall? Where did you fall? Where did you fall? Behold me, Savior, at your feet. Deal with me as thou seest me. Don't allow me, Lord, to go back from this meeting the same I came. Arise, O God, on my behalf. Shakarabababa, shakataraba, shandarababa, shandarabababa. O Father, Shiri Mama 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 Malika Baba Sanda, Holy Spirit. You are the one that convicts people of sin. Remind us, open our hearts. Search us, O God, search us. There must not be any stain, no spot, no stain, no wrinkle, no matter how little tonight, so that you can be able to have your way in our lives. Lord, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Holy Spirit, you see the heart, nobody's heart is hidden from you. You see every man's heart come with the bleach of the blood. Come with the water of the Word of God. Appropriate water of the Word of God. Can you pray deliberately? This is not the time to speak in tongues. No. Can you pray deliberately? Can you pray and tell the Lord? If Eliab had done that, if Shammah had done that, who is Goliath to challenge you? Who are those giants who are pushing you down? Who are they? How can Goliath intimidate you for the past 40 days, a child of God? Where is the hand of God upon your life? Why is God afraid? Why is he afraid to lay hands on you? Can you pray tonight? Please, can you be deliberate? Don't let anything bypass you. Don't let anything be wasted. Don't let anything become something you are saying, I think it is not important. No. Lost in the heart. Every lost in the heart. You are in courtship, but there is lust in your heart. Don't excuse it. It may be in the business field that something has happened to your consecration. You must come to this sacrifice with a pure heart, with a humble heart. Or is it that your heart has become lifted up? You are too sure. But yet, God is not saying so.
In Jesus' name we prayed. Out of the 8 sons of Jesse, each one of them came. And God is saying, I have rejected this. Because the Lord sees the heart. He said, I, the Lord, I look at the heart, not the outward appearance. He said, I have rejected him. Listen. The first verse says, how long will you mourn for a man that I have rejected? And then out of 8 children of Jesse, 7 of them, God said, don't look at their faces. Their hearts are not right with me. I have rejected them. We have come before the Lord this week. Let's quickly settle one matter with God. Is the Lord looking into your heart this night? And he's saying, this is not the one I want. But I sense that there's an opportunity. That's why he's giving us space. Space. to make things right with God. Before we conclude in prayer, before we conclude tonight in prayer, is God looking into your inner man and is saying, but I don't like this. But you cannot be like this and I will go forward with you. Why don't you drop it? Have you come back here already defeated? And the Holy Spirit is pointing it to you tonight and saying, don't waste more time. Make your life right with God. Before we rise in prayer, it is important for you to examine, where is that area of my life that I need to have made right with God? Or maybe you have just come into the meeting and you know that you have entered into a holy ground, but the shoes on your feet will disqualify you. Can you put aside that garment tonight and say, Lord, have mercy on me? We're going to take a song, just a little song. Jesus, my Lord, to you I cry. Unless you help me, I must die. Oh, bring thy free salvation now and take me as I am. And as we sing this song, you just sense that, let me not just go from this meeting tonight. Let me make my heart right with God. Let me stop being an hypocrite. Let me just confess my heart. As we sing the song, if you need to do that tonight, just sense that tonight, let me not just go back. I want my life to be right. I want Jesus to change my story. I want Jesus to forgive me. I just want to hand over to Him. Enough of being an hypocrite. We're getting to a very serious time when God wants to move forward with His people. Don't let me leave me behind. As I take that song, you sense that tonight you have to make your life right with God. You want to be definite about it. You want to be deliberate about it. You just want Jesus not to look the other way. I'd like you to take a decision and quietly you will stand where you are on your own. Don't call somebody to join you, only you. I say, Lord, even if I'm alone in this meeting tonight, I want to make my life right with God. I want Jesus to step into my case and end all this confusion with me. I will ask you to stand where you are as you sing this song. Just walk towards the altar, and I would like to pray with you. Jesus, my Lord, to thee I cry. Unless thou help. Singing hymn number 7. Oh, bring your free salvation there. And take me as I am, as I am. And take me as I am. And take me as I am. Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am. Helpless I am, full of guilt, but yet for me, your blood was spilled. And thou can make me, you can make me whatever thou will, and take me, take me, take me as I am and take. It must be you coming as you are before the Lord. You must decide that this matter must end. Don't just come out. Let me be sure that you are taking a decision tonight. Oh, take me out. No preparation can I make. No preparations can I make. My best resolve I only break. I have broken much of my resolution. Yet save me for your own name's sake. Your own name's sake. And take me out. As I am. You must be ready to put your hand on this matter tonight and say, God, I can't travel all the way to Kaduna only to be put aside. My only place. Christ died for me. Take me as I am. Behold me, Savior, at your feet. Begin your work in my life. Begin your work and complete it. But take me as I am. As I am. And take me as I am. And take me as I am. My own. Christ died for me, but take me out. We do that chorus only one more time. If the Holy Spirit is still drawing your heart, just stand up where you are and say, God, take me as I am. We do that. Those of you kneeling down, can you lift up your two hands to God so that tonight a deep walk of grace might begin in you? And take me as I am, and take me as I am, my own. Lift up those hands to God. Just lift it above your head. Say, Lord, take me as I am. We're praying now. Just lift up those hands. I'd like to pray. Lift it up before God. Tell God that I can't be kneeling down here only to return to my struggle. Having come down graciously to touch a life, I must not be one of those sent away and say, I have rejected it. Whatever it is that has been battling with your life, let God deal with it this minute. As you are laying it at His feet, He will handle it. Ask Jesus to please step in. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight we stand before you. We plead with you, having come to this meeting, do not pass us by. In the name of Jesus Christ. Having gathered this meeting this year again, and you want to begin to deal with growth, you want to begin to talk to us about advancement, you want to deal with the matter of stagnation, Lord, I ask tonight that by the mighty hand of God that delivers men from the bondage of Egypt, step forth your hands to these lives that are kneeling down and pull them out of their predicament in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, those that are crying and said, Lord, I can't return the way I've come. You say, any man that comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. Do a miracle of transformation in their hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Every stagnation to their growth, every secret habit, every recurrent fall, uproot it now in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, step into this life now. Already tonight, begin a miracle. Lord, every trap Satan has set for any of them, and those of them that are just opening up to you and say, Lord, I've struggled with you for too long, step into my life. Step into their lives tonight. Lord, for the rest of this meeting tonight, I ask, prepare us. It's you we came for. It's you we want to see. It's you we want to encounter. Make this convocation a divine moment for each one of us. Cause this to be a landmark for several of our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Where you are going, where you are going, you're already moving, and we're asking, carry us along. Carry us along. Don't let us become crippled on this journey. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm trusting you, O God, that this week, these few days, from now to Saturday, it will be a divine moment. A moment of divine visitation. What we do with our lives individually will become indelible in years to come. In the name of Jesus Christ. All those who come to you with an expectation, the expectation will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Those who look to you for deliberate intervention, you will intervene in their situations, in their cases, in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who come to you and say, when I go to that meeting, God will meet my needs. You will meet their needs in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who have come, Lord, with a cry in their heart, a cry. They have traveled everywhere. There is no solution. But when a man comes to you, they must return. People that have come like Hannah, your life will never remain the same in the name of Jesus. Those, oh God, who say, I'm going to Mount Zion. For in Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. And the house of Israel shall possess their possession. We have come to Mount Zion, not Mount Sinai. We have come to the month of grace. Lord, let there be deliverance here. Let there be deliverance for all those who are looking for help. Release your hand on their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. We know, Lord, that you will do a new thing in our midst. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. My brothers and sisters, can you stand up quickly? Can you stand up now? Thank God. Are you ready for us? Please, I want you to move quickly and he will give you an instruction for a little while and then you will be back. Look at him. Wave your hand. Let's go that side. Please move quickly. I want all of you to stand up this night and let's welcome the Holy Ghost to this meeting. Let's welcome him. He's already here. You are welcome, Spirit of the Lord. You are welcome, Spirit of the Lord. You have promised that when we gather in your name, whether two, whether three, you are there. Hallelujah. You are welcome. I want you to wave your hand to him. He has come. As we start this meeting, his presence will overwhelm all of you. Oh, you have promised that when we gather in your name, whether two, whether three, you are there. One more time, you are welcome. Spirit of the Lord, into my heart you are welcome. Spirit of the Lord, you are promised that when we gather in your name, whether two, whether three, you are here. Father, from this night, the canopy of your spirit will rest on this meeting. The cloud of your presence will rest on this meeting. Wherever we sleep, wherever we go, it shall be under the unbroken canopy of your grace. That whether we sing, whether we pray, whether we study, whether we listen to the word of God, it shall be under the canopy of your presence in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I cover every soul that has come. Those that are yet to arrive, they will be coming under the canopy of your anointing. And that beyond what the pulpit can achieve, you will be walking in this meeting. That from now, oh God, we are going to have an unbroken communion with you. Unbroken communion with you. We sanctify every bit of space here. Everywhere anybody will lay their heads. Anywhere they will kneel down to pray. They will encounter you from now until the end of this meeting in the name of Jesus. And all through these days, there shall be healing. There shall be divine encounters. There shall be divine visitations. There shall be breakthroughs in your life. Heavens will open over your head all through these days. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And let the people say, Amen. And let the people say, Amen. And let the people say a loud Amen. Now please sit down for some few logistics. We will give you some announcements so that you know what to do. God bless you.
For further inquiries and counsel, please contact Refuge Media, Number 1 Constitution Road, Trinity Methodist Shopping Arcade, P.O. Box 7332, Telephone 070-29-71-9745, 070-34-56-8035. Email treasuresteam@yahoo.com or visit our website at www.theplaceofrefuge.org.